Now, I noticed you didn't post your normal weekly podcast from your church service on Sunday.
No. We had a graduation ceremony for five graduates of the Freedom Communities program, and so they looked after the meeting, so they shared on what they were doing and how they were doing it and different things like that. So yeah, so there wasn't really a I didn't really speak, so.
Okay. All right. All right. Because I was really looking forward to some more of that pathway and the process that you're starting there. But
Yeah, we've got one more session this Sunday, and then I'm away for two or three Sundays. So,
okay.
yeah.
All right. There's another gentleman from our group that would like to join our Hangouts here on Monday. Would you? Is that all right? Or I'm sorry. On Thursdays here, Thursday mornings. Is that all right? If
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
okay, all right. Yeah, that again, this issue of new folks coming in and they don't. It's hard to plug people into where you're at when you're running hard and going in this stuff, and to even give them a grid for where you are. We were last night in our group. We were doing the a tape that or tape, yeah, a message that Ian has on courtroom procedure,
Yeah.
where I think it was back last year. He was with Michelle. The lady that he does a lot of conferences with, and they were doing a whole series of like little courtroom things where Ian actually prays through it and has the whole group that he's with praying through it, and it's really intense. I mean, it's like going through a lie bust or something like that, or an inner healing session where you're really going after stuff and again, we had new people there last night who had no grid for any of this, and they're like, they're just wondering what's going on,
Yeah.
how do you keep people in the process? Like, I mean, obviously you got a church, and you probably have new people walking in every Sunday, how do you plug them into a process of how this all works and
Well, over here, we're not that great in number, in a sense, because not a lot of people want to go down this route, and it is challenging, and you need to be prepared for transformation if you're gonna look to engage in the heavens, because you can't, although what you receive in terms of intimacy and relationship with God and is wonderful, the responsibility side of it is not going to be released until purification takes place. You're not going to get access to some of the courts and things consistently, unless God can entrust you with levels of authority that come by presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice and yielding at different levels. So, I think not everyone wants to do that. And so, we haven't got a great number of people here. What I've done over a period of time, I've taken various groups through experience, and then done supernatural workshops with those that were hungry to do that. Now that's why I'm taking everybody through the process from the beginning. I'm going to do a mentoring group with those that are more advanced, so that they can become mentors of others. And that's ultimately what it's about. It's about people passing on what they've learned and helping people to engage through their own testimonies, and using some of the resources then that people can go back to and look at. And I think that's all you can do. If you have a big enough resource in terms of people, then you can have a dedicated beginning stage group, if you like, that meets you know, in the midweek or something that would help people from the beginning, and, you know, answering basic questions, and, you know, but then, you know, that's really what I'm trying to do now, in a sense, take people through from the very beginning. But, you know, if people come to something where you are experiencing and encountering, they're either going to engage with it or not engage with it. I think probably you have to think about having a pre-engagement group. But then that's what really starts to happen once you start attracting more and more people, because, you know, more and more people are going to want to get on board with these things, then you may have to think about a pre-engagement group that actually starts from the beginning, and looks to engage people who are hungry initially just with the first principles and basic exercises, and help people to learn to tune in, how to meditate in the word, and how to meditate around their imagination to step in. You know, it'll all be about experiencing the presence of God in a more experiential way at the beginning. You know, and I don't really think you can't stop people advancing for those people that come in knowing nothing. You just can't. So either they're happy to just go along and learn as they go, or you've got to find a way of doing a pre-engagement group with those to encourage them. You know, you've started your group from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just have to start probably another group. And, you know, after they've got to a certain stage, then they may well be able to integrate into one, but they do need the basics, otherwise they will be lost. You know, and I think almost like produce a glossary sheet of terms, because I mean, I had someone contact me on Google, on YouTube, basically saying that they'd just come across a mentoring session, they're born again, spirit-filled Christian, mature, and had no idea what we were on about, because they didn't understand the language. What is a bench of three? What is this? What is that? So maybe even a glossary sheet with basic terms, because once you get into these things, you very much have a language that a lot of other even mature Christians won't understand. Yeah. You know, they won't even understand a stepping in, engaging, you know, opening first love gates, and they won't really understand it at all. Mm-hmm. So having a glossary sheet may be really useful, just to say, oh, you know, because it's nothing worse than going into a group of people that use terms, and particularly acronyms. You know, we don't use a lot of acronyms, but I've been in meetings where acronyms are used, and you think, what are they on about? You know, there's an assumption that everyone knows what that acronym means, but if you don't know what it means, you're just guessing or basically completely stuck. So it could be a good idea maybe to think about a glossary sheet with some of the basic terms, basic ideas. You know, even when using courtrooms, we talk about using courts. Well, some people would have no idea what that meant. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, or, you know, engaging around the ark of God's presence. I mean, it's all language that we're really familiar with, but someone new wouldn't have much of an idea what that really meant. So it may be useful just to have a crib sheet that gave basic terms so that people could at least read what we're meaning by what we say. You know. And if I was to talk to someone about engaging wisdom, they wouldn't have any idea what I was really on about. They would just be thinking I would be asking God to give me wisdom, rather than go meeting with a person, you know. You know, again, you know, some of the angelic terms, and just maybe, you know, mountains, you know, scrolls, mandates, just basic understanding of that terminology would be very helpful, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, to be honest, you know, I think you just have to, as things grow, you have to look for yourself, you know, who would you trust to be able to mentor others? and work together, you know, to then find the strategy that God would have you use. You know, establish your own bench of three, you know, because essentially you are gathering an ecclesia of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may not want to call it church, but actually it is an ecclesia because people are gathering around a purpose. And at some stage, you have to sort of see what is God's vision for what you're doing and establish the mountains that you have and then look to establish the authority that that will be authorized to release on those mountains and get a vision. Because often these things start, you know, and it's like then they gather pace and then it's, well, what actually are we doing? And, you know, what is God telling us to do? So it's best to start off with that, really. But I would encourage those of you and those who you really feel are called and have a heart for this to really engage God. Get a mandate and a scroll for what God wants you to do specifically. And then when people ask you, you can tell them. You know, because people ask, well, where is this going? Well, I don't know. Well, God knows. You know, and he'll tell you if you go and seek him for it. Particularly if you're looking to embrace doing things in this new way, if you like, engaging heaven and finding out what heaven says, and then, you know, everything then you can begin to administrate the kingdom around. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. You know, it's like, yeah, they love the experiences, they love encounters, they love meeting angels and doing that stuff, but when it comes to administrating the kingdom, actually outworking the purpose that God has in heaven and out through our lives on earth, that's where people tend to run into, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. What does it mean to administrate the kingdom? You know, and that's what we have to be equipping people. I mean, for me, you know, I feel really clearly called to raise up a Joshua generation who are supernatural mentors. You know, now, we're not doing that in any structural way at this point, just, you know, and everything will have to remain relational as far as I'm concerned in these things. Otherwise, it just becomes an old way of doing things. But, you know, we are going to have to probably think about how we do that, you know, and how we equip people and then how we engage those people to engage others, to raise up more groups around the world, whether they're physical groups or whether they're just, you know, ecclesia gathered in the atmosphere, if you like, we're going to have to find ways of administrating that. And, you know, that's really why I want to form a, you know, a helpful pathway procedure to help people go right through the process. Then they can take anyone new right through the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're sort of working around that right now.
Well, I know you're said what you've done though, Mike. I just can't thank you enough. You've created so many resources. I'm constantly referring people to you and your website and the YouTubes and the blogs and all of that. Do you still keep the forum? I've checked it periodically. It doesn't seem like a whole lot's happening there.
No, I think the forum obviously has quite a lot of questions and answers on it, which is a useful background, so I don't really have to go in answering the same questions over again. So sometimes I just point people to it. So if you've got lots of questions, here's a good place to start because there are lots of questions and answers. I think since the mentoring sessions have probably taken off, people are not using the forum to ask many questions, but it is a good reference, you know. And if people do ask a question, then everyone else can read it on the forum rather than I answer some person's question by email and it only goes to them, you know, which isn't as helpful. So if people do ask me questions, personal questions, for those type of information, then I would send them to sign up to the forum and go and look at the questions and use it there. But it's not really very active because I think I'm available other ways, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I still go in there and copy and paste some of your questions, some of the questions and answers, and create a document and then hand it out to people that have a question about something. It's, yeah, it's great. Yeah. Well, one question I had for you this week, it seems like my questions lately are more on how to function as a, teaching people this new thing God's doing, more than questions on some of this topics. And again, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, how do you handle, or what do you do with, I mean, because now, both in the spiritual realm and in the natural, I guess because of what we're doing and what we're pressing into, people are being attracted to us, or stuff that we're, you know, information about what we're doing, people hear about, and and then you get the comment, oh, have you heard about this person or that person, or oh, you need to meet this guy, he's doing this, he's going to heaven, or he's got this teaching on this part. Well, you listen to these other people, or even meet them or whatever, and you find out that they have definitely had some valid experiences, but their language is slightly different, or the way they see things is a little bit different. And, you know, I mean, like a classic one, I guess that everybody would recognize, if you go and listen to Kat Kerr, you know, who's got some awesome messages about going to heaven and encountering heaven. Well, the whole structure of how she sees heaven and all of her teachings is significantly different than the governmental judicial stuff, and even some of the relational that we're talking about. So what I'm asking is, how do you find the truth in all of that, or find the you know, like what you and Mike are teaching, you know, like the structures and protocol, how when you find other people that have a different revelation, yet they have a valid experience, what do you do with that? How do you handle that?
Sure. Well, heaven is a multiversed place, and people will experience things according to their own way of interacting with God. And sometimes people have to, there's a difference between visions of something and visiting somewhere, and they are different. And so everyone to a degree will have some sort of mindset, worldview that filters things through. And so when they see some sort of vision or some symbolic thing, then they interpret it according to the mindset that they have. I tend to, when I get symbolic things, I tend to try and go back to God for the interpretation before I release it, because I want to know what was God trying to show me through this, rather than assuming I know. And assuming that I understand, even though I do have a sort of gift area in interpretation of symbols and dreams and things, I want to go back to God and say, well, what were you showing me? Is this something which is a real place of engagement that everyone can engage in the same way? Which I believe there are, you know, the tree of life, throne of grace, you know, the river of life, they are spiritual realities. How we personally engage them may be slightly different in terms of how we connect up and how God speaks to us and how we receive revelation through things. But essentially, they are places in the realms of heaven. And there are different doorways and doors and different places within the kingdom of God and then within the realms of heaven itself and Mount Zion and you know, all the different things of the throne room, the tabernacle, the temple, you know, the throne over the river of fire. They're all different places. You know, from my experience, I've been there, I've seen them, I've been back there, you know, where the thrones are, where we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know, that's different from our mountains, which is more about our positional authority within the kingdom that's coming out of who we are and our identity. They're all different places. Now, God is desiring to open up the realm for people to be drawn to experience and the reality of those things. And so he'll use certain people to open up that understanding and that realm. Hey, this is a real place. I've been there. I've had this vision or whatever. And hopefully that inspires people to pursue it themselves. And that's the key in all this. You have to pursue it yourself. And if you don't pursue it yourself, you're just listening to someone else's story or testimony and not ever engaging personally. And it may not be possible to engage in someone else's testimony and what they've done, because it may well be very specifically targeted at them, that God has used them in a particular way, and they have a destiny which is designed around a particular way of looking at things or doing things. So I tend to look for principles, and I tend to see where my heart is drawn towards things that I recognize spiritually, even though the language may be different, the terminology may be different, even some of the images may be different, but I recognize something in my spirit. And so there are many, many different rooms in heaven that people refer to with different names. But actually, they are the same, carrying the same principle beneath it. And people may have accessed those things through different ways. You know, I've accessed certain things by coming through the pathway of relationship and engaged by going into heaven directly through the river of life. And I've engaged in certain things there that now I've learned also to engage with in the other pathway. You know, going into heaven and going through the realms of heaven in the judicial and rulership pathway, there is crossover. Now, initially there wasn't for me because I was learning where things were, but now I mapped things out more. I found out more about how to engage here and there and how you can go to different doorways, particularly, you know, go to Wisdom's Heights and you get access to Mount Zion and through that gateway. You know, you can also go into the realm of where the Garden of God is and the waterfalls and that stuff through your gate of first love and engage. So, you know, if I don't really feel any spiritual connection to what people are sharing, then I just leave it. You know, I don't try and reconcile the differences in things. I just feel, okay, that was great. They have had an experience that God is using them in. He has a purpose in using them in it. It's not my responsibility to reconcile it. That's up to him. What experiences and encounters he gives people, he has a purpose for it. And I just have to trust in that purpose and leave it to him. I know that I need to outwork my destiny and what I'm called to do, which is to equip people to engage there themselves in both relationship and judicial authority. And so that is the focus that I have. You know, in terms of like someone like Guy Henderson, who does the court teaching, you know, he operates much more on, you know, that we're going to operate in the courts and we're going to get a judicial authority to administer the kingdom. You know, he's not necessarily coming out with all the different courts because he's mostly focused on the ones that he's engaged with. And that's where he's at. But he's introducing lots of people to the concept that you can go into the realms of heaven and experience a judicial place of authority and therefore use that to administer the kingdom. So God doesn't give anybody everything anyway, because otherwise, you know, we probably get too big for our boots. So we have to rely on on other people, which is why I gain things from people even in the mentoring sessions where they talk about things that they did and thought, oh, I've not seen that way, or I've not been there, maybe I'll go and look for myself. And quite often I will observe and try and see what people are doing when they go on the activation exercises and see what's happening. So I personally don't really feel I have to defend what I'm doing, and I don't really have to question what other people are doing. You know, I mean, I tend to sort of relate to stuff that Ian Clayton does, because we had similar experiences and similar ways. But I certainly didn't need to do all the things that Ian did to be able to engage, because God took me there and then taught me to go there. So I didn't really need to look at natural things to get doorways. I just engaged my spirit and go. You know, but for some people that's really valid, and what he's taught there helps people who are more left-brained to try and engage. So it's only really where someone would be saying something which I think is completely off kilter that I would have an issue, I guess. And I'm to be honest, I haven't really got time to listen to lots of other things from other people. I've got so much stuff to explore myself, that I have not got been yet. I mean, I've been to places and have not yet been back, and simply because of the time factors to be able to explore things and to encounter. And I've got some significant things that God's really spoken to me about recently that I know when I get back from holiday, I'm going to have to clear some space in my head to focus on. You know, it's not so much the time, it's I got the time, it's what I focus the time on, and God is calling me to focus the time on some issues around chancellors and chancellor courts and the 12 laws of Zion and different things, but I'm going to have to pursue that and spend the time developing those protocols, because I'm not going to release anything that I've not experienced and I could understand to be able to explain to somebody else. So I don't really have a problem with other people seeing things a different way, because God's got purposes for everybody. You know, what he's doing is opening up the possibility that we can engage in the unseen spiritual realms. That's coming through so many different sources. And it's listening to what is the bigger picture of what God is bringing to the body right now. And it may be coming through various ways, methodologies, terminologies, sorts of expressions, but the big picture is you can engage in the realm of heaven, and you can engage in the unseen spiritual realm around your life. And that's the key factor. And if that inspires people to pursue, then God will use different people in different ways, and people then sometimes will have an introduction into a subject through somebody, and it'll be like, wow. And then their spirit will sort of think, I'm just not quite sort of, then he'll introduce them to someone else who can maybe explain it differently. You know, I think the main thing is what we've got to get over is loads of people having lots of experiential encounters, but not understanding what they're for. And people who introduce people to spirit experiences and encounters in heaven, but do not help them to see what the outworking of that is, only go so far. And I have to say, you know, a lot of Ian's stuff is more opening people's eyes to the possibilities of stuff rather than actually how you do it. You know, there's not so much of the, well, actually, let's do this. There's some, but it doesn't go into detail. I mean, even the courts stuff, most of the stuff he's done which is practical is to do with the mobile court. And at the court of accusation, you know, I've not heard him teach and take people into the court of chancellors or into the court of angels or into any other courts. He's talked about them as principles, but he's not taught people actually how to go in there and what happens when you do go in there. Primarily, he may have done that individually to people, but I've certainly not heard a lot of really clear expressions of what it is. But then that may not be what he's called to do. which is what I feel I am called to do, is to open up these realms in a way which brings experience, but also protocol. You know, this is what we do here, and we can engage here, what do we do on our mountain? You know, because it's great having a principle of a mountain, but if you never know what to do on it, you're never going to be able to administer from it. You know, so what are the practical things? And we may outwork those practical things in lots of different ways, but, you know, I think, yeah, you know, I feel really comfortable with what I know God's called me to do, and I'm not really too concerned about others, because others have got different calls. So someone like Gary Beaton, well, you know, they are much more focused about redeeming the land and doing different things. Great. Yeah, I know that's not what I'm called to do. Not in that realm. There are things I do in the realms of heaven to engage in certain things, but, you know, and there are seasons as well as different things, of different seasons that you go through that you have focus on this for this season. I mean, I must say, one of the things that I know that I'm called to do is to forerun and to find new places and to discover them. So I don't necessarily get to consistently outwork some of the revelation I've got. I pass it on to others to do, because God won't let me stay there very long. Long enough to have an experiential understanding, a practical knowledge of how to do things, then I don't always get the opportunity of doing that for the next 6 months. You know, he takes me on into something else. So, yeah, so I think I probably covered that to a degree, I think. So,
yeah. Well, I didn't know if you had any wisdom you would want to impart to me or to what we're doing here.
Well, I think, you know, it's as I said earlier, you know, I would encourage you to start looking at, you know, what is it that God is calling us to? And, you know, looking to establish the pattern of heaven around what you're doing, you know, because you may well find people are drawn to certain things, but not to others. And when you have a clear mandate from God for what is it that we're called to do, then you know you have authorization to do it. And those that don't feel called to that, then you're fine with. You can say, look, that's not what we're called to do. Bless you. You know, you probably need to look elsewhere. But when you're not sure what you're doing, then it's easy to be swayed to different things because, you know, you need a vision. And although God may have got you here somewhat accidentally or, you know, he's got you here now, you know, and now you're here, it's like he has a plan and purpose for you and for the group, you know, and to me, you know, it is an ecclesia, it is a gathering around a purpose. You just need to establish what the parameters of that purpose is, get the scroll, get a mandate, get the seven mountains, look to establish a bench of three, and then look to establish spiritual authority that can really take this further than where you could do without that. There's a limit to what you can do without getting that governmental pattern established. You know, and it's we're not talking about a heavy thing. You're just talking about establishing something so that you can actually release greater blessing into what you're doing, and, you know, and it will have a greater dimension. And some of it, I probably feel that you're a little bit reticent in some ways to take a lead. but don't be afraid of that. You know, God has called you. You have that on you. That mantle is there for you. You know, I can see it there. You come from a very gentle heart and a desire to bless and to serve, which is where everything should flow out of. But I think there's greater dimensions of authority, but some stage, you know, God is going to be saying, like he did to Joshua, you know, be strong and courageous, you know. And so, I would definitely say that, you know, what God is going to do is establish something of his kingdom and what he wants, and you need to find that. You know, it's absolutely vital that you find it. Because if people are being gathered, the question is, what are they being gathered to? If it's just the meeting or sort of teaching, well, that's fine. But everything in the kingdom requires commitment and government. You know, so if people are not willing to embrace that, then they're unlikely to be really looking to outwork what God's called them to do it through that. And so I don't think you can get away from really getting a clear mandate from God, establishing your scroll, connect up with the angel that's assigned to this area for you, and, you know, be clear. Because until you hear what it is, it's very difficult for you to get a strategy for outworking it. You know, because if it's, you know, if God says, right, now this ecclesia is a gathering, and I actually see this as a local gathering that has authority in this area to do these things, then you're going to need call people to commitment to that. If it is, no, we are called here as a gathering to release other people to go back out to where they came from, taking with them something new and fresh to inspire other people elsewhere, well, then that's fine. But how you structure what you do will be determined by what it is you're called to do. You know, and if it is just to bless people and then send them on their way, well, then you need to have a time period. How long does that take? And then you need to release people and start afresh with new people. But if it's actually, no, this is something that God wants to establish, you know, that we would call a church, that I would much rather call ecclesia, because I think church has got such a difficult interpretation around it, then you then have to look to establish things within that to see it fulfill its function. And even as a church, then you still need to understand, well, what is the vision that this has? But there will be more of a gathering of people together physically than just gathering them together, you know, in the ether, if you like. But they can still be connected, you know. So my encouragement would be to pursue that. Find those that you know's hearts are really joined together and really pursue that together, and then get the mandate and go and get the strategy from God and release the angels and establish kingdom authority. You know, now there may well be people who are going to other places, but they're being drawn to connect to you because actually in other places they're not getting this revelation and they know there's something more and they're hungry for more. Now at some point, those people have to make a choice. Are they going to continue going where they are or not? Now, once you establish a local ecclesia that has a vision, then you do have responsibility. And I've found that a lot of people don't really want to say that we're a church or we're an actual ecclesia, because that means that you carry responsibility for the people. If you're just a ministry, or if you're just something that, you know, we just meet every now and again, then those people are not, it's not the same, you know. And I know a lot of people don't want to call themselves something that they really are because they don't want the responsibility that goes with it, which means you are responsible for people's lives. You know, if people have come and said, yeah, we're part of this and we're joined hearts together, we're part of this vision, we're sharing this vision with you, then, you know, according to Hebrews 13, there's a sense of submitted to government, but then the government being responsible for them, you know, overseeing their the sort of development of their destiny and encouraging them to fulfill their purposes and do all the things that you would do, which is different. You know, so I am aware that, you know, there's a lot of things out there where people don't want to do that because of the responsibility that it carries. But if you're doing it and not taking that responsibility, then you're not really going to have the fullness of what God wants. So I think you need to find out, really, what it is.
Yeah. Well, we're so looking forward to your trip coming here and being with us. We're really looking forward to what you're going to speak into our lives and help us. Maybe you'll be helping us form this,
well,
or put a structure to it or something. I don't know. Well,
maybe, but some of that is, you see, I will never be coming and telling people what to do. I will come and help people to find out what God says they should be doing and maybe ask some questions and maybe go some places that can unveil that and bring it into clarity, but it's not my responsibility to tell you what God is telling you to do, because that's just reinforcing an old model.
Right.
I'm here to help you engage with God so God tells you what to do, and then he'll show you the mandate, and yeah, I can do things that will help. I can commission people into roles, but I can't tell those people that they should be in those roles. God has to do that. You know, I have authority to commission people and to anoint people with things and to establish people on mountains, but I'm not going to tell them what mountains it is. They've got to find that themselves. And, you know, but it's good fun, you know, and yeah, it's a good fun process. But it requires people willing to step out in faith and engage, you know, and be willing then to do what God says, you know. And I think sometimes that's why people don't want to know what God's saying, because then they're actually accountable to do it. Because with responsibility comes accountability, you know, and God will hold us accountable to that which he's revealed to us.
Yeah.
Which is why I think a lot of people don't want to go to heaven or experience that. They're happy for their pastor or leader to do it and on their behalf, which is, to me, just an Old Testament mediatorial system, which I don't want to be involved in. You know, I do not want to be telling people. I want to help people to experience it themselves. And then they have a testimony in which they can impart to others. Mm-hmm. It's no point people saying, oh, well, Mike says this. It's about, okay, we have heard some things that people have shared, and we've gone and we've got the revelation for ourselves, because that's what it's really about. And I like the whole Berean thing in Acts. You know, the Bereans, they looked into the Word of God because they wanted to see if this was so. They weren't trying to disprove it; they were trying to encounter it, and that's what God's looking for—a hunger, and a desire, and a passion to encounter. You know, and once you've encountered, then you are responsible. And I think there's a whole load of people within the body. You know, you've got this order of Melchizedek thing, but you've also got, you know, the 30, 60, 90-fold, which are not going to get to the 100-fold because they won't be prepared to pay the cost. They'll be happy with their 30-fold blessing or 60-fold blessing or even 90-fold blessing, but I want the 100-fold. You know, and I know certainly Ian teaches that he only believes the 10% are really going to go for it and end up being the order of Melchizedek. Well, if that's the forerunners who then can equip the next generation to come, then great, let's go for it. Let's be part of that 10%. Let's be willing to pay the cost of discipleship and whatever it takes to have no genealogy. Because the order of Melchizedek, no genealogy. So we have to make sure that everything from past generations and in our own life is actually purified and refined so that we can actually live, that the enemy's got nothing in us. And we can live every day without sin. You know, and people say, oh, you can't do that. well, actually, if I can live a second without sin, or a minute without sin, or 5 minutes without sin, well, then it's possible to live a whole day without sin. So long as I'm willing to embrace God telling me that was sin, repent. Deal with why that came. What was the root of that in your life? Where did that come from? Is it genetic? Is it through bloodline? Is it just through iniquity? Whatever. You know, and if we're willing to go through that process, then I don't believe that we should be focused about sin. We should be focused on the kingdom of God and the purposes of God. But we've got to be willing to go through the process. And I think that's the challenge for people. You know, embracing transformation. You know, and going the whole way with it, right down to dealing with genealogy, so that we can say, no, the devil's got nothing in me. You know, and I have my inheritance restored to me, and I'm living out of it. You know, there will still be a process of maturity. You know, Adam and Eve were sinless, but they would have still had to have matured into the image of Christ, into the image of God. So just because we don't sin doesn't make us immediately mature. Maturity is a process of developing fruit and character and understanding for administration of the kingdom. So, you know, that we go beyond being a friend of God to being a Lord, King, and a son. You know, and a king does things that a Lord doesn't do. And a son does things a king doesn't do, you know. And I want to be a son. And I want to be able to be manifested as a son on the earth to answer the groan of creation that will bring restoration and bring us back to terraforming things to God's purposed condition, really. That's going to take a bit of work, I'm sure. But the more we step into the realms of heaven, the more our lives get changed and transformed. Yeah, and then the more we can live that out here as manifesting the kingdom on earth through our lives as it is in heaven.
Well, you mentioned that you, and I've seen you do it on the Hangouts where people are describing experiences or symbolism. And you mentioned that you have a gifting to be able to interpret and, you know, put a language to what those things mean. Is how do you grow into that? How does a person learn how to do that, or get, is that a gift you ask for? Or, well, yeah, there's the interpreting dreams. Yeah, sure. Okay. Answering my own question.
Not everyone's the same.
Yeah.
And so not everyone is going to have the same things, because we're designed differently and we've got different callings and different things that God is wanting us to engage in. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there is the distinguishing of spirits, which I think is about discerning and seeing into the realms of the spirit and everything like that. I've spent years developing an understanding in the Word of God and biblical symbolism, because I've read it a lot and I've looked into the symbolism a lot and asked God to show me things. And that just comes out, to be honest. You know, and when people ask me something, I just say what flows out of my spirit. You know, there are some principles of interpretation that are helpful. You know, first mention is a helpful thing when you're looking at something. But you've got to be prepared to look at every single situation as an individual situation. Otherwise, you end up going on previous experience and just knowledge. And it must be revelatory knowledge, not just intellectual knowledge. You know, I understand certain things in dreams often refer to meanings, like, you know, houses often refer to our life, vehicles often refer to ministry, you know, and the type of vehicle will depend on the sort of level of ministry often, but not necessarily every time. And so each time you must look and think, okay, God, what is this meaning for this person at this time. And to be honest, I think it's a gift which I would love to not have to use, because I would want people to be able to go back to God themselves and ask him, because that's what I'm pointing people. And I do point people back, because even though sometimes I could tell people what the things are, I don't think I should, because I want them to go and get a personal relationship with God where they can take that picture or that image or that vision or dream, and they can go back to God and say, God, show me this. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to revisit this. I'm going to picture it, and I'm going to let you flow in the thoughts into my mind and tell me what it is, and I'm going to talk to you about it. You know, which is what maturity is about. And yeah, I'm okay. I'm happy helping people when they're beginning a journey to help with the journey and get them started. But if someone kept asking me the same sort of things down the line, I would, and I have done to people even now. So actually, what you need to do is go back and you need to ask God yourself. Because sometimes it can be just laziness. It's like, well, it's easier to ask you because you'll tell me now. It means I don't have to put any effort in and go and ask God himself. You know? So I think we, you know, we need to be careful we don't become a crutch for somebody, or that we don't take God's place, you know, because God's the one who really they need to develop being able to hear his voice. And he's obviously trying to speak to them, otherwise they wouldn't have a vision or a dream or a picture. But the reality is God gave dreams, visions, and pictures lots of times to see whether people were willing to pursue them. Parables, were people willing to go and ask Jesus, well, what did that mean? Well, his disciples were, and he told them. A lot of people walked away. Who knows whether they ever thought about it again or not. But God gives stuff like that in somewhat cryptic terms, sometimes just because he wants to know, am I willing to pursue and find out what that means? Because the desires of my heart are drawn towards it then. You know, so, yes, there's certainly are spiritual gifts, you know, gift of prophecy and discerning of spirits, which have a use until really we mature. You know, and I think even 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, they really sort of indicate that there's more. And, you know, I'm not saying they're childish things, but I don't use words of knowledge and prophetic things anywhere near what I used to, because I've got a relationship where I can meet with God, you know, and so I'm looking into a different realm, you know, that realm of what the Holy Spirit was engaging in a situation. You can look deeper into it and begin to see yourself what's going on in that situation. And that's what we need to encourage people to do, you know, to engage at a deeper level with things, you know. But yeah, but to start with, you know, you engage with the Holy Spirit, and they're good things to help. But I want a face-to-face encounter with God, you know, which means me pursuing relationship with him. So I'm looking for the gift giver, not the gifts. Because when I've met the gift giver, the gifts really don't really matter too much, because I've got direct source. You know, I've got direct access to the river of life and the tree of life and the throne of grace. So I can just go there. Well, I don't really need a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or even a prophetic word when I can go and talk to the living word. You know, so it's basically, you know, relationship really. Which is the goal. Oops. Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, again, Mike, thank you so much. Boy. Thank you.
Really. You're welcome.
yeah, so now we'll we won't really have anything now until